The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome to another edition of the UAB Director's Chair. We call it that because he's the athletic director of the UAB Blazers. And, listen, we can get coaches on and talk X's and O's. Everyone does that. We like to get the AD on and pull the curtain back and get into not only UAB sports, but talk about everything going on in collegiate sports. Mark Ingram joins us right here on Tony Curry Radio and wherever you get your podcast. Mark, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm great, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Obviously, you can podcast the show, and we have a big ball game against LSU, the Bayou Bengal Tigers, and the UAB Blazers. We were just talking off air about that particular show. Really interesting line there from Vegas, a 14-point dog that we have a shot. So you're saying we have a shot? We have a chance.
So you're saying we got a chance. Yeah. Absolutely. We got more than a chance. I mean, we have a great football team. We have a great football team. And so do they, but I'm encouraged by the way we played last week against North Texas. I know our kids are hungry to get to bowl eligibility, which one more win does for us. So we have a lot to play for, and I know we've got talent. I know we have the ability, and we showed that last week, and we showed it a lot. But sadly, sometimes we've shown it even in our losses. But I know the talent is there, and. So I'm really excited for the opportunity to go down there. I think it'll be a great environment. I know it will be. The LSU fans will be there, and that'll be a lot of fun for our team and for our fans who attend. I'm thrilled for it and really looking forward to the game.
Well, it's not like it hasn't happened before, my friend. I mean, let's go get them. Let me ask you this. Do you have some type of condition or situation if, in fact, UAB would knock off LSU, how the hell you're going to get out of there alive?
Well, you know, if our fans try and tear down their goalposts, that's probably the biggest.
I wasn't talking about our fans. I was talking about their fans. I've been down to LSU games enough to realize that I've had the best college experiences down there, and I've had the worst college experiences down there, and it usually has something to do with whether LSU wins the football game or not.
Well, you know, they have such great fans. It's really one of the best environments in college football. I mean, there's a lot of great places, and they are certainly one of them. So they'll be enthusiastic about the Tigers as they always are, and as they should be. They got a really good team, and what a great turnaround by Brian Kelly and that staff.
This is the UAB Director's Chair program here on Tony Curry Radio Podcast, our network, as well as on Tony Curry Radio. Download that Tony Curry Radio app, the TKR app through Apple, or Tony Curry Radio. That's Curry with a K, like 100,000 folks have already done. We greatly appreciate everyone doing that, of course, wherever you get your podcast. So a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the coaching situation at UAB. We do have a very important recruiting period coming up in December. Where are we at with the next UAB head football coach?
Well, it'll really heat up. You know, I met with our staff yesterday, actually, our football staff, and we talked a little bit about that. I just said, hey, look, I understand that this is an awkward time. You know, it feels odd, you know, that I'm maybe this open about it, but it doesn't have to be weird, you know, and it can be weird if we make it weird. But we were all put in this situation together. We didn't choose to be in this situation that we're in, but we're in it. And my job is to find the very best coach that can lead us into the American, win the American, and take us to the college football playoff, because we're capable of doing that. And I think we have a lot of tools and resources here at UAB to do that. And so I just said, you know, if you start hearing from your agent or some other friend in the profession that you heard that I spoke to somebody, or, hey, I hear they're talking to this one or that one, I said, just assume it's true. I've uncovered a lot of rocks. I've turned over all the stones as best I can. I've had a lot of time to do that, which is a good thing and a bad thing, too. And I've talked to every agent or person that wants to be an agent across the country. And so, if you hear that I've possibly spoke to somebody, I probably did. And just know that. And I said, if you have anything you want to talk about, please do it. But it'll really heat up here over the next couple of weeks. The transfer portal opens up December the 5th. You know, so you'd like to be able to look at that date as a date you're – you know, in front of or on, so that our current roster knows at least the direction that we're going, whatever that direction is. And of course, the sooner you can do it, the more time that a coach would have to recruit staff and again, sort of re-recruit the roster. I think we talked about this on our last podcast, is that you know, let's say we currently run an offense that uses a fullback, but the next coach doesn't do that. You know, you want both parties, the player and the coach, to be able to have an open dialogue. So, hey man, you're a great player, but you know, we don't use a fullback.
Yeah.
And you can stay, you know, or, you know, is there another position that you could play? Do you play linebacker or something? And anyway, it just gives both sides that ability. So it is an unusual thing. I can tell you that I was a 5-year guy as a player. I was 5 seasons, a red shirt, played 4. In 5 years, I can't think of 10 people. In 5 years, I cannot think of 10 people from my team as my teammates who transferred.
Yeah.
We had 22 go in the portal last year.
It's crazy.
Just in football. That was after we beat BYU now.
Yeah.
And so it is crazy. And so when you think about this year, we've got 21 seniors. And then, you know, Dwayne McBride is definitely in a position to take a look at the NFL. And, and then we've actually got, because of COVID, there's a couple of guys who are labeled juniors that have elected to move on. And we got one that's going to go to med school, for goodness sakes. You know, we'll probably have 22, 23 guys matriculate naturally. And if we have, you know, another 20 or 25 go in the portal, that's probably normal these days.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that, though. That's like 45 people who are in the locker room today that won't be in the locker room next year. 45 out of 120.
Yeah, I mean,
45 out of 120.
That's the new game. I mean, that's what
you. And they're not all on scholarship. Okay, it's not necessarily 45 scholarship players, but still, 45 people that are on your team who, in the modern era, won't be. And that'll be every year.
As the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, and this is the UAB Director's Chair program here of a podcast, and thanks to the thousands of folks who are tuning in every single week, we'd like to give you some information you couldn't find anywhere else, and we do that here with Mark. Part of your job description, obviously, is to hire and fire as an athletic director, and obviously status quo is good because it seems like your teams are winning, and as an athletic director, everything's good. Do you enjoy the hiring process? Do you enjoy putting together coaches, and obviously you're traveling around the country meeting with people. Is that something that you actually enjoy?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity to meet people in our industry and even people that you may choose not to hire for whatever reason. You may hire them the next time, you know, because you can only pick one. And if you have multiple great candidates, it doesn't mean that the one you chose wasn't a great candidate. You can only pick one, though.
Yeah.
And so I've enjoyed that. And we've had situations where we hired a coach. We had a tough choice to make. We hired one. And 2-3 years later, the one we hired, they did well, and they got hired somewhere else. And then we went back to that same candidate that we, you know, that finished number two the previous time, said, hey, you were great. Would you reconsider, you know, and we have, and then we've hired them kind of the second time around. So we've done that more than once because we've had really strong candidate pools.
From a national perspective, you got the new stadium. You're going into the AAC. It's going to be very, very highly competitive, much different than Conference USA. How has that opened up the hiring for your next particular coach? Because for a long period of time, when you went through the Garrett McGee's and some of the other coaches you had at UAB, I'm not saying you had to take what you had to get, but now all of a sudden you're a destination place. You're a place where coaches actually want to coach. How has that opened up the hiring process? And then after you answer that question, I'll continue. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, it's dramatic. Yeah. I mean, it's dramatic. And I wasn't here, prior to the 2014 season when Coach Clark had been hired, or when Garrett McGee was hired, or obviously, but you know, the facility that we built for our team to practice in, our practice facility,
yeah,
it's as good as any group of five in the country, maybe, and better than most, if not nearly all. It's better than a lot of what, you know, what a person in the media might call a kind of lower tier power five. We're better than a lot of people. And so what we have between our practice facility, Protective Stadium many times has been said to be the nicest college stadium in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So between our practice facility and Protective Stadium, Now layer in how great our university is, how great Birmingham is, the interest in football in our community and in our state and the states that surround our state. You know, the recruiting in this area is as good as any zone or region in the United States, and probably most people would say not even arguably the best. So when you put all those things together, this job is a phenomenal job. Now we're going into the American Athletic Conference. So you're stepping up and into even tougher and more high profile competition. We're going to have a partnership with ESPN. All of our games are going to be on the ESPN platform. Mm-hmm. You know, all these things make this job super attractive. So the number of people that have reached out that have interest in our opening is almost overwhelming, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Can you tell me how that process works? Obviously, this is not a process you want to go through every single year. You hope you'd go through it once every 10 years, but it seems like coaches are leaving after three or four seasons. Are you getting fired or moving on to different programs? Talk about just how that process of hiring a football coach works. You put the list together, you start crossing names off, saying, okay, that's not going to work, that's not going to work. I'm assuming you have some type of short list. How does this all work?
Yeah, so I have a committee of folks that I work with here in athletics, some of my unit leaders who are also sport administrators that help me with every single hire, no matter coach or otherwise. We feel like we've got a really, really good formula as to how we evaluate people. And frankly, it's not that complicated really, as much as to say everybody has a voice. Everybody in the room has a voice. Everybody has the opportunity to say they do or do not like a person. They hear, if you were interviewing for the job, they would, you know, what I hear you say and how you say it isn't the same as somebody else might have taken it. So that discussion is really healthy in the way that we evaluate our coaches and our prospects for these opportunities. So we do that, whether it's the head football coach or the head golf coach. It's all the same. And nothing is foolproof, but we've got a really, really good group of people here who have a very diverse look at each of these openings. And that's why we've been successful in all of our coaching hires. So in terms of process, yeah, you've got a list in your desk drawer, but remember, just because we might have interest in them doesn't mean that they have interest in us. And it doesn't mean that you know them either, right? So yeah. you might have mutual interest. I like you, you like me, but then something about, you know, we've never met before. And then there's something about the way you answered that we just didn't like. You know, we asked you that. Remember, we asked him that question about academics, or we asked him that question about recruiting. I'm not sure I loved his response on that. And we'll talk about, how did you hear that? Did you think, you know, so you go through this exercise, with your short list, and we have asked a consultant to assist us. They do background checks for us so that we can find things that maybe are not necessarily the obvious, you know, police record type stuff. You know, you have arrests and things, but you also have things that aren't necessarily, there's no record of, but maybe they have, through previous searches or previous engagement with a person, they say, hey, look, just be aware they have a history or a reputation of this kind of behavioral tendency. Mm-hmm. It's not discoverable otherwise. You know?
I know there's going to be a little bit of a tap dance here. And I know that people look at, they'll look at serial numbers in the back of airplanes to find out who's coming in and who's going out.
Right.
But
right.
At a UAB level, how does that work? I mean, obviously you don't need to reach out to a university and say, hey, can I talk to your head coach? Does it purely go through agents? How do you make those lines? How do you draw those lines as far as in trying to find out who's interested in the program? Or maybe, I mean, do you have people calling you?
Yes and yes and yes. all the above. Yeah. People have called us directly, or they've had their agent call us directly. They've, you know, found a guy that knows a guy who knows a guy that knows me, you know, to say, hey, Tony Curry's interested in your job, you know, that kind of thing has happened. But yes, us back through the consultant to an agent or to a coach, hey, would you have any interest in just talking to UAB, learning more about them? You know, it's just things that are innocent enough to just say, hey, just we're just trying to find out, engage your interest here before we go so far as to put you in a position to have to, you know, report upward. You know, all the head coaches, all the head coaches have language in their contracts, and most assistant coaches do too, that if they were going to speak to anybody about another opportunity, they have to tell their supervisor.
Yeah.
I have it in my contract, right? Yeah. So this is not uncommon, but you don't want to put anybody in a bad spot there if you're not real serious.
Well, and you have to realize too, you just talked about assistant coaches. They're all going to be looking for jobs more likely too. So,
which could also be here, yeah. you know, no matter who you hire, so if you look directly at our case, whether it's Coach Vincent or somebody else, everybody's opportunity to stay here exists. And you shouldn't just assume that a new person is going to clean house.
Yeah.
And you probably shouldn't assume that, you know, that everything would be status quo with Coach Vincent either. I mean, all these things are what create this sort of temporary anxiety, you know, around the building as I think would be normal. But it comes back to the conversation I had with the staff yesterday is just sort of acknowledging that. I know that they've all been very professional about the way they've conducted themselves, as has the team, and which I appreciate. And I wanted them to know that. And so, you know, we've had great candidates and Coach Vincent has been a part of our process and will continue to be. So we're evaluating all the time. It's not just wins. It's, you know, wins are important, and it's not only that. So we feel really good about where we are right now, but it'll really heat up over these next couple of weeks as we approach that December 5th day.
Can you tell me how many people are on your short list?
It started, our short list started at about 120. And
I said short list, not the long one.
I'm not really kidding. And you know, it's, you know, got down to about, you know, 15 or 20 probably that we really started having phone conversations with. I've probably spoken at least by phone to 24 coaches.
Yeah.
You know, so the challenge in Coach Clark leaving in June is that we've had to scramble a bit, you know, for our current season and our current staff and roster. The value in it for me is it's given me a lot of time to talk to a lot of people. I guess the downside is it's been a long time and I've talked to a lot of people. So that's good and bad.
Is it safe to assume that Bill Clark will not be back as the head coach?
It is.
Okay. That's a good question because it's an info. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. info@TonyCurryRadio.net if you want to leave your email questions. And Toby in Gardendale said, please ask Mark if this will be the most important hire he's ever made.
Well, you know, Toby, thank you from Gardendale, beautiful community of Gardendale. Yeah, it's a good question. It's certainly a critical hire. Every hire is important. They all have various levels of value. You know, the head football coach at most places, if not maybe all, but nearly all, is the most public-facing person that the athletic department has. And in some regard, gets more media attention than even the president. It's not a more important job than the president, but it gets more media coverage. So it's critical in that way because you're trying to get your community excited. First of all, you're trying to get the locker room excited, and then you're trying to get the community excited. And oh yeah, by the way, then there's the job, which is recruiting and coaching. So you're trying to get this total package. You're trying to find this unicorn. And unicorns don't exist, or I've never seen one. And so every candidate has a level of risk, and it's a matter of how much risk do you want to take? How do you assess that risk, and who has the greatest upside? So it's like when you're talking to your financial planner and you go, hey, look, we've got these stocks over here that are really moderate. They're low risk, but they have a low return, you know, but they're safe.
Yeah.
And then you have these stocks that you've got and they're high risk, but they're high reward too. And so which would you like to purchase, Tony? Which direction do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And so you might decide, is this the time to take that high risk, high reward, or is this the time to be moderate and safe? And so you're just evaluating that constantly with each candidate.
It feels like this could be a potentially huge hire, in only that we know we're going to be going to a 12-team playoff in 2026, if not sooner. And that allows a lot more teams to compete for a national championship. And I just, people are like, come on, UAB. Hey, listen, I got news for you. You saw Cincinnati do it last year out of the AAC. There's no reason to think that a team out of the AAC or any other conference, for that matter, will get a shot when you go to 12 teams. So I could certainly see that. So I could understand where, you know, you have to leverage that because everyone's going to have a shot. Mark Ingram joins us right here, the UAB Director's Chair, right here on Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network, as well as TKR. So, listen, I think it's really interesting, too, the rumor going, and I think it's more than a rumor now, that Lane Kiffin's going to be taking the Auburn job. He has not been at any particular school, I think, any longer than 3 or 4 years. What's your thoughts on coaches that jump around? We saw it with Brian Kelly. I mean, we see guys going from major top 10 programs, from one top 10 program to another top 10 program. And I realize while Auburn may have more resources and more NIL money and things like that, that maybe Ole Miss doesn't have, I think it is a little bit of a surprise. Where do you... Loyalty is a two-way street. What's your thoughts on loyalty in collegiate sports and coaching?
Well, the jobs are hard. Okay, so the coaching jobs, the AD jobs, it's not just hard because the work itself is hard, but you cannot please everybody all the time. And in some cases, you can't please – it feels like you can't please anybody ever, you know. And I think because the compensation level and because of the advent of the internet and you can communicate differently and quicker and you know, through social media, you can have a 12-year-old kid in the basement of their house create an identity that makes them seem like a 60-year-old billionaire that basically underwrites the program. And if they don't get what they want, then they're out. And then, you know, all of a sudden people see that kind of thing and they don't know who's behind, you know, Blazer Man 25. Blazer Man 25 is 10 years old, you know, no. But they say that. And before the internet, you had this with radio call in shows where people would, you know, go ahead, caller, and you call in and you say, I've been a season ticket holder for this long. And mm-hmm. If they don't fire Tony Curry, I'm out.
Yep.
You don't even know if the guy's a season ticket holder or goes to games.
Sure.
You have no idea. You know, I'm Joe from Stevensville. I'm never coming back. And that's the way people act, you know, and they kind of lash out. And so that pressure, I think there are some people, I mean, it's actually said in our industry at conventions, somewhat tongue in cheek, I think, and somewhat accurately, like there comes a point in time where you've kind of angered a certain percentage of your people every year.
Yep.
And there comes a point where that it's like a seesaw. It's gone the wrong way. It doesn't matter how much good work you've done. You've done 1,000 good things and you make one decision that isn't quite great. Now all of a sudden people act like you don't know what you're doing, you know? And as I said, like, if you look at this exact moment in this hire, there is no perfect hire. There isn't. And there's nobody that's going to guarantee all the things that we all want. We all want the same things, but no person guarantees that, nobody. And so, you know, in coaching, they go, I've never heard a coach say after a signing day, hey, everybody get excited. You know, our class is fairly mediocre, but we're going to be okay. Nobody ever says that, right? They always say, we got a great class. I'm really excited about these kids. And I think they genuinely are. But five-star athletes don't always play. There's plenty of five-stars that go to every school in the country, signs five-stars and four-stars, who never touch the field.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they didn't recruit those. Coaches didn't go recruit those kids thinking they would never play.
Yeah.
They all we think everybody's going to play or contribute in some manner, but they don't. And then there's no stars who somehow walk onto your program and you go, how on earth was this guy – a no star. This guy's a first round draft pick. Are mm-hmm. you kidding me? Look at how fast this guy is. You know, so you have both sides of that. And so coming back to the coaching question, if you miss on a couple of players and they're the wrong players, or those players don't pan out, or Man, that guy's really talented, but gosh, he's lazy. You know, you just all sorts of things. Or they turned their ankle getting off, just walking across the street, stepped off the curb and turned their ankle. And man, he just can't get right. And now that quarterback, you know, a key role like a quarterback type position, all of a sudden they're unavailable and you're a different team. And
You bring up a great point, too, about and I think that's one of the issues, and I think Auburn people will even say the same thing. There's too many fingers in the pie. There's too many people with money that are trying to make decisions for the program, and they think they know what they're doing, but they don't. And they're probably pushing their agenda on the university based on how much they contribute to Auburn. And I always say, listen, if you know, a gymnast from LSU can make $2 million in an NIL deal, sure as hell we can raise $10 or $15 million to bring in the right coach. Do you deal with that at UAB? And I know you have to be politically correct here, but do you have big money boosters that you need to confide in or at least talk with about your hiring process? Or is that something that you're like, that ain't happening?
Well, I've got great people here in our department at the university and, yes, in the community, business folks who give me great advice all the time. And I appreciate it. You know, it's usually, Tony, it's about how that advice is presented.
Yeah.
If you present the advice like I'm an idiot and you know, you're going to teach me about the business that I'm in because you're a successful business person that's a sports fan and therefore you know how to do it. Or maybe you're a successful business person who 25 years ago was a student athlete yourself. So you talk to me or kind of pat me on the head, like, let me help you, young man, let me show you how you really ought to be doing this. There's no industry that I can think of outside of sports and politics that gets as much media attention. If you're the bank president and you're very successful, obviously, but when you make a change in staff, it's not on ESPN.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't get all this social media fodder about it. There's no message board following the bank. You know, there's not fans that are going to see you. You know, not all your shareholders and all your bank customers, they're not all going to see you at that event tomorrow night, you know, at the basketball game to talk to you about something in football. That it's so different. There are business principles in what we do, but we don't run a business. We run an enterprise.
Yeah.
And that's the major difference. But this enterprise gets an incredible amount of public attention through media and you know, our investors, our fans. And so it is not the same. But we have a great group of people here who what they do for me is they give me great advice, but they're not overbearing. They're not trying to tell me how to do the job. They might just say more like a question, have you thought about this or you know, how did you approach that? And I couldn't be more complimentary of our board here. One thing that through my time, 7.5 years here, that they have consistently done, even as new board members have rolled in and out, is we'll get into a conversation about something we're building or maybe a person we're hiring. And, you know, they're great about saying, hey man, that's your job. You do what you want to do. You know, we had this situation years ago that was like that, and this is what we did, but that may work for you. That may not, but they're really good about knowing what their role is and not overstepping that role. And I couldn't be more appreciative of the manner that they do that, you know, and they're always, you know, I've never been in a conversation, I don't think, where one of them didn't say, hey, just tell us how we can help.
Yeah.
And it's refreshing. It really is very refreshing. And they do help and have helped and they do give great advice. These are all super successful people that are engaged and invested probably financially, but with their time and their love for our university system. So, you know, they care, they really care. And it's been super valuable to us.
So you will announce the new head coach on the show, right?
Well, Tony, I've been wanting to see if you would consider the opportunity. And so We'll have to chat offline about your experience.
I'm expecting to hear it here first. Hey, go check out UABSports.com for basketball tickets, football tickets, whatever they got going on. We got to get another victory so we can go to a bowl game this year. It's going to happen. Mark, thank you so much for your time, man. Greatly appreciate you. We'll catch up next week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Have a great week.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.